Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Have you ever made out a legal will that states who should get what of your possessions after you die? Doing a will makes it easier for relatives to know your wishes in how you'd like your things to be given away. Some people joke that they don't have enough to bother about such a thing. Yet many arguments might be saved if everyone in the family knew what was to be given to them. A will determines what money and assets are divided up and in what proportions, usually between the surviving children, relatives and friends. Back in times past, the firstborn son was given a double portion of his inheritance because he was expected to care for his aging mother after his father died. This birthright was highly valued by most, but today in our Bible adventure we'll see the power struggle that continues between Esau and his younger brother Jacob recorded in the scriptures.
This pottage smells delicious.
Esau, is that you?
Yes. Help me.
What's the matter? Are you hurt?
I'm just faint and worn out.
Where have you been?
Hunting. I went too far. Lost my way. Ran out of food. I'm trying to get home, but I don't think I can make it.
Well, I'll lend you one of the donkeys. Here, let me help you over to the campfire. Yes. Now, that's it. You'll be home before you know it.
You're cooking something.
Pottage. Oh,
smells good. Give me some.
Oh, can't. Don't have enough. Anyway, you'll be home shortly and can have all the food you can eat.
I'm hungry, faint with hunger. I want something to eat now.
I'll let you have the pottage. I'll sell it to you.
Sold. What's the price?
Your birthright.
Agreed. Now give me the pottage.
You know what you're doing? I mean, you realize, don't you, that if I get the birthright, you won't get any of the advantages of the firstborn. I will get them all. I will be the priest of the family. Through me and my seed will come the Messiah. I will get most of Father's wealth when he dies. I will be...
What good will the birthright do me if I die? You can have it. I want something to eat now. Give me the pottage.
You will confirm this by an oath?
I swear on my honor that the birthright is now all yours.
Here's the dish of pottage.
Years passed by until Isaac, old and blind and expecting soon to die, determined no longer to delay the bestowal of the birthright blessing upon his elder son, Esau.
Esau, my son.
Yes, father.
I am old. I know not the day of my death. Take your weapons, my son, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt me some venison. Make from it savory meat, and bring it to me that I may eat. Then shall I give you the birthright blessing.
Gladly, father.
Jacob, your father is about to pronounce the birthright blessing upon Esau. You should receive it. Now, quickly, we will disguise you so your father will think you are Esau. Then I shall make savory meat, and you will take it to him and receive the blessing.
But mother, father is blind, I know, but suppose he touch me. He can tell it's me. And the smell of the woods is on Esau, the smell of sheep upon me. No, mother, father...
Do as I tell you, and quickly, before Esau returns.
Father?
Yes, who is it?
It is I, Esau. I have brought you some savory meat.
Back so soon? Your voice sounds strange. Come closer. Let me feel your skin.
Yes, father.
Your hands are hairy, but you're... Are you truly my son Esau?
Yes, sir.
And Isaac ate the savory meat and blessed Jacob, thinking that he had blessed Esau. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac, that Esau came in from his hunting. And he also had savory meat for Isaac, his father.
Savory meat? But I just ate it and blessed you.
Blessed me?
Who are you?
I am Esau, your eldest son.
Yes, your voice. I believe you are Esau. Your brother has deceived me. I gave him the birthright blessing.
So Jacob has tricked me again. Twice he has cheated me. First he took away my birthright by force, and now he steals the birthright blessing. Well, I'll make him pay for this.
Esau and Jacob were very different in all of their ways. Esau grew up to be a strong outdoors man who didn't think things through before acting rashly. Jacob was a quiet indoors man who planned with his mother in an underhand manner for opportunities to take advantage of his older brother Esau. This constant combat between Esau and Jacob made the home a place of strife. The scriptures in Genesis chapter 25 make it plain that of the two brothers, Isaac preferred Esau, while Rebekah favored Jacob. Favoritism in a family can tear it completely apart. While the children who are not favored may be jealous of the privileges the favored one receives, the favored child also has a mental burden of unfair and unjust treatment that they must carry as well. As recorded in the Bible, one day Esau had been out hunting and had obviously caught nothing. He was very weary and hungry when he returned home. He wanted to revive himself, and he saw that Jacob had prepared and was ready to serve some food. Esau asked Jacob for some, making out that he was now near to death. We don't know if Esau was really near to death, as he said he was, or just saying this as an exaggeration. Maybe he'd become faint from lack of food. But generally, as it's considered that fit and healthy people like Esau can survive without food for up to 30 days, provided they've had plenty of water to drink instead. However, when Jacob asked for Esau's birthright in exchange for some food, Esau gladly gave it to Jacob. This gives us the understanding that Esau didn't care in the least about his position as the firstborn son in the family at that time, but he did later. To guarantee his claim to the birthright, Jacob insisted that Esau swear an oath, which made the transaction legally binding. In Hebrews chapter 12, Esau is described as a godless person who later sought to undo what he'd done and couldn't find a way, even though he looked for it with tears. When Esau was 40 years old, he took two local Canaanite women as wives, and this was a great source of grief for both Isaac and Rebekah. The Canaanites were known for their ungodliness, and God required that his covenant people were not to intermarry with them. By doing this action alone, Esau demonstrated that he was unfit to inherit the blessings of his family covenant, firstly, because he married two wives, and secondly, because the wives were Canaanites. When Esau saw that his wives didn't please Isaac, Esau then took a third wife, the daughter of his uncle, Ishmael. In biblical times, it was the custom for an aged father to give specific blessings to each of his sons. These blessings were binding, as much as a written will is legally binding today. In giving these final blessings, the father usually took into account the special privileges due to the eldest son, but he was ultimately free to bestow his blessing on whomever he pleased. For Isaac to send Esau out to hunt for him, he evidently planned to give his entire blessing to Esau and nothing at all to Jacob. Rebekah was most unhappy about this. Rebekah favored Jacob and assured him that she was ready to accept any curse if their plot was discovered. There was no doubt that it would come out, and very quickly at that. But her plan went smoothly, and Jacob fully entered into a deception to become his brother Esau. Jacob and Rebekah's deception worked perfectly. As soon as Jacob secured the blessing that had been meant for Esau, Esau arrived with his tasty food. Suddenly, Isaac realized that he'd been deceived and he trembled violently. The blessing once given could not be revoked. It was now beyond Isaac's control and would come to pass. When Esau saw that he'd been cheated by Jacob a second time, the first time being out of his birthright and now his firstborn blessing, Esau begged his father for a blessing too. When Isaac finally spoke, he told Esau that he and his descendants would live in a dry wilderness area and they would serve Jacob. Esau's greatest sorrow, though, came from knowing that he himself had been responsible for losing his father's blessing when he gave up his birthright for a bowl of food. Naturally, Esau was very angry at Jacob and resolved to regain his birthright and blessing by killing Jacob. Rebekah found out about this threat to Jacob's life and urged Jacob to flee to her relatives back in the city of Haran. Because Rebekah had suffered so much from Esau marrying Canaanite wives, she persuaded Isaac to tell Jacob not to marry a Canaanite woman, but instead to return to her family for a wife. Jacob now had a good reason to disappear from the scene while Esau got over his desire for revenge. Rebekah never saw her beloved son Jacob again. What can we learn from this family so that we don't repeat the same mistakes? To have harmony in the home, there needs to be respect for one another. Rebekah didn't respect Isaac's right to give the whole blessing to their older child. If she had, God would have worked things out differently to make the older serve the younger, as he had promised to do. She should have let God bring his words to pass without interfering, because lies and deception are never the right way to do things. Many of us assume that once we reach adulthood, our pain from being a victim in childhood will disappear and not affect us when we're in control of our lives as adults. But childhood anger at our pain and hurts don't disappear unless we can identify them and resolve them. How can we do that? God doesn't want us to store up in our hearts or minds the bad things that have happened to us in the past, and doing so will keep adding to our deep down anger. Rather, he wants us to acknowledge him and get rid of the bad fruit of anger, resentment, distrust, and fearfulness. We need to replace such feelings with the thoughts of the good fruit of joy, peace, patience, kindness, and forgiveness, which can only be achieved through dependence on the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. How can we forgive an unrepentant parent for their abuse of us? The next time anger wells up in your heart, face the unresolved childhood anger. A counselor recommends that we take four pieces of paper and label them hurt, injustice, fear, and frustration. And then ask God to reveal buried hurts, injustices, fears, and frustrations from childhood. Write down each incident for each that you can remember from your early life. Then release the anger to God. Confess both your harboring sin and the sins of your parents. Ask Jesus for forgiveness of all, and in the power of Jesus' name and through God's Holy Spirit ministering to us, and using Scripture, replace your anger with God's cleansing peace and freedom. Forgive and pray for those toward whom you've held your anger against. Burn the pages that you've written as a symbolic reminder of the forgiveness that you and they have received in Christ. Allow the Scriptures to reprogram your thought processes so that you'll be able to replace the problems of your past with God's eternal truth. This will bring true freedom to grudge-free living. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.